Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Tomorrow is a draft. Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. I'm here with Chris Francis and Elijah Kim. And tomorrow is draft day, and we've already got a lot of, what did you call it, Chris? Slop in the air. Right. A lot of trade fodder where the NBA
slop
pigs come to the trough.
Here. That's right. Shout out to Chill Bro, dude.
Yeah. We already had Grant. I can't remember his first name.
Jeremy Grant
traded to Portland into cap space for a late first round pick. So that was kind of crazy. And then Atlanta's trying to move John Collins and a bunch of picks for Deontay Murray. You got to feel like the Cavs maybe want to get in on that. Do you think the Cavs have any shot there, Chris?
Oh, man. I mean, now that we know what's required, or now that we know what the Spurs are requiring, I mean, you gotta contemplate it. I mean, John Collins and four picks into the future, you know, I think we're already going to start hot Googling action, because I don't remember exactly how many picks or pick swaps were accompanying that Drew Holiday trade.
I think the reporting for this one was John Collins and three was kind of the minimum that was being contemplated right now.
Was that all picks or picks and swaps?
Yeah, that's
three picks and
two
swaps, I think.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yep, it was three picks and two swaps. That's correct. Yep.
From Atlanta.
So, I mean, three picks and two swaps. I feel like get on the horn, Kobe. What are you waiting for? You know, now that we know that I just assumed Deontay Murray was completely unavailable. I am actually shocked that they're even considering moving him, given the fact of, I mean, just how good he is, how young he is on a cost-controlled contract. I mean, this is
base eight triple-double.
Yeah, and, you know, they got the clutch connection. Darius Garland seems to be a huge fan. They seem to have mutual respect, Darius Garland and Deontay Murray. Garland always shows out somehow against the Spurs as well. I mean, come on. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, I feel like this is a no-brainer.
Oh, I think – sorry, go ahead.
I would agree. I think it'd be a no-brainer if the Cavs could somehow do it. But I think the only problem is the Cavs don't have a player of the caliber of John Collins as like the center.
Oh, I would put Lauri Markkanen on par with John Collins.
Oh, I would have said that you could do. I mean, I'll get Brandon as the Jared Allen hater. I don't care, but I'm willing to part with Jared Allen to get this deal done. And I think you could do. I think you could trade less picks. I think you can trade less draft picks, less pick swaps, if you include an all-star like Jared Allen as the centerpiece of that trade.
That's an interesting deal. I don't know if that makes sense for the Spurs, though. Like, they're a rebuilding team. You get rid of DeJounte. Like, does Jared Allen make sense for them long term?
That's actually
you have
a fair
to get
point.
A
no. That's a
third team
a fair
involved.
Point. Yep.
To move Allen or another player for more picks, I kind of feel like you'd have to.
I agree with that. That's a fair point. I think that's on the money.
And then the Spurs also have Jakob Poeltl, They have like what, 3 picks in this draft, so they're in position to draft like the center of the future. So
yeah, I kind of feel like Laurie's a better fit for that trade. If you're making that move,
Laurie and Chetty,
Laurie, what's his salary? Well, yeah, it would probably be Laurie and Chetty for Murray, and they'd probably have to take back McBucket's Dougie. Contract.
Yep.
Dougie
McBucket's contract. Yep, I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, there you go, Kobe. You heard it here first, CTB. We've already done the work for you.
Anyway. I'm not anywaying your point there. I'm just saying.
No.
It's just kind of crazy. So any other crazy news the last few hours? Like, the amount of smoke this year is amazing. I feel like what's the latest on the rumors with the Cavs, Eli?
There aren't really a lot of Cavs-centric rumors right now. I think the big thing coming out is that a trade down kind of seems like a potential move. It could be smoke to try to get Charlotte to take a center with a 13th pick, but you know, I think the Cavs are right now getting Usman Dieng or Oshai Agbaji mocked to them a lot, which is interesting because I think deep down, I think we don't believe the Cavs are actually that interested in Agbaji at 14. So it'll be interesting. I do think the Cavs are looking to trade down, but I'm not quite sure that their interest in Agbaji is as strong as everyone thinks it is right now.
Yeah. And then the other, of course, big rumor is that they were the team that promised Usman Dieng of France and the New Zealand Breakers. I am baffled by the move. I haven't seen any video of him that makes me go, wow, that guy could be amazing. Every time I watch him, he looks like I described him as a big Goonie bird. I just don't understand what the appeal is. Like, I don't see like explosiveness or great coordination or anything like that. I just see, you know, some decent court vision. But like, if you are 19 years old and you move like Kyle Anderson, like, that concerns me a little. So I don't understand. And, you know, and I made the point, like, I think Jovic, just from everything he does on the court, if you say you want Dieng, why wouldn't you want Jovic? Like, he just does so many more things more fluidly to me than Dieng does. So I don't know. And it's real interesting because we heard Malachi Branham mocked to the Cavs for, you know, several weeks. And I think a lot of that is because Ohio State and Cleveland are in the same, are about 200 miles apart from each other. And we're not hearing that anymore. I've heard a lot of talk of like Branham been dropping back into the late teens. And it's interesting. And then, of course, it feels like Jalen Williams has risen into the teens somewhere, the mid-teens. And I think you and I talked, Eli, that we didn't think if the Cavs traded back to what, like 21 and 29 was the Grizzlies trade offer.
Yeah, I think the Grizzlies have 22 and 29.
22 and 29. We don't think Williams would be there. And then you're looking at guys like Dalen Terry and Marshawn Beauchamp, who the Cavs seem to like. So it's definitely been some interesting moves. This is the most people I can ever remember being invited to the green room. Like, there's something like 20 people, and some of these guys aren't projected till like the second round being invited to the green room. So that's super interesting. Maybe the NBA.
Yeah. Speaking of smoke on that, it's funny because I think Giovanni, who's, you know, pretty well respected reporter, said that the agents all believe there's about 50 players that think they're going in the first round, which is unprecedented.
And impossible.
Definitely not possible. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how the NBA people think, because obviously, like most things in life where there's, you know, two sides to a story. There's usually two parties involved in the story, you know, in this case being the teams and the players. Usually there's always three sides to a story, right? The player's side, the team side, and the truth. So we'll see how it all shakes out on the draft night, because it's really interesting to see all the smoke going on right now.
Yes, it is. It's very interesting. So with that, is there any other kind of crazy things that you think we might see from the Cavs or around the NBA tonight, like, or tomorrow night? Of course, this will drop tomorrow morning. So when I say tonight, it for everybody listening, it will actually be Thursday night. So, yeah, and that's how – that's Nate explains how time works. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. So, yeah, I mean, any big themes you see happening? Do you think we're going to see a ton of moves?
I mean, I think that – I mean, we're finally starting to see something happen. So, thankfully, you know, for those who've been craving some action, it's finally beginning. And, you know, there's some – there was a new report about Kyrie Irving. I guess the Lakers are seriously the Lakers are seriously in the conversation for acquiring Kyrie Irving. And it's already been reported that if the Nets do not max Kyrie, that KD is also out from Brooklyn. So we might have the just complete destruction of the title favorites from last year into, I mean, they're back to square one, aren't they? You know, they're back to, you know, they've already done a complete build up and tear down in the span of the Boston, you know, trade cycle, I guess, or whatever. You know, I don't know how to phrase it properly, but you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah. So, you know, they tried to cheat the game and I guess win, you know, play stupid games, play, you know, win stupid prizes. So, hopefully fingers crossed something's happening tomorrow. It seems like, you know, going back to the Cavs thing with the trade talk, you know, it's funny because it really left the impression that, I mean, the Cavs definitely want to trade down. I think, I mean, that's the impression I got from the reporting is that, the Cavs are, seem to be, it's ironic too, because I was just talking to a couple guys, you know, just a couple NBA fans from across the country or whatever online and stuff like that. And what's interesting is like, you look at the list that Chris Fedor, published, you know, about the five or six names that the Cavs are considering at 14. You know, I shared that list with the, you know, friends and draft aficionados and stuff like that online. And it's funny because the reaction was that the Cavs are perfectly positioned at 14. Like the guys that the Cavs are looking at are sought after by many different squads near and around that 14th pick. You know, there's teams that want to trade up. Seems like we already got two names, the Wolves and the Grizzlies want to trade up. The names, you know, there's probably teams that want to trade back from, you know, I would guess there might be teams that want to trade back. There's teams that want to get rid of their pick. So, to avoid paying guys. So I just think, you know, it's interesting. Like I think that it seems like they're giving off the impression they weren't impressed about anybody that they brought in so far this draft season, and they want to trade out to ensure that they get a pick in next year's draft, which is, you know, it's been rumored for a little bit that it's going to be a stacked draft class. So I think with the draft class next year, aren't 18-year-olds allowed back in? Is the one and done rule over?
No. So the story on that is they will probably negotiate a new CBA. I believe the opt-out is like in December or something. I can't remember. But I believe there's going to be a new CBA between this year and next year. And that, of course, means that could be bargained in. So gotcha. We will kind of see what happens.
I thought it was a double-dip draft for some reason. So
Well, I don't think they've really like said yet.
Okay. So, regardless, I think
of course I had the date of free agency wrong last year or last week, so I could be
no. Google had it wrong. You don't have to take that L.
So, I will totally take that L.
But you know, just to wrap it, put a fine point on it. It just seems like the Cavs are shopping for a pick for next year because they think they're going to lose it. You know, obviously the team was over 500. They were in contention to be in the they were in playoff contention all season long, essentially. So I think they're hell bent on trying to recoup that first round pick that they'll inevitably have to give up if they make the playoffs because of Karis.
Yeah, and with that, we will be right back. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith here with Chris Francis. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. Chris Francis is here. Elijah Kim is here. I'm Nate Smith. I figured those guys are the talent, so I better introduce them first. I'm just the guy who knows how to edit a podcast. So one of the things you touched on was the 14th pick, and I've said multiple times that this draft really reminds me of 2013, where clearly if the draft was redone, Giannis Antetokounmpo would be the first pick, and that was the year that the Cavs, of course, took Anthony Bennett with the number one pick, and then turned around and passed on guys like Rudy Gobert to take Sergei Karasev, who was out of the league in 2 years. A disastrous draft for the Cavs, but obviously the beauty of 2016 is you wouldn't change anything. But the interesting thing is, you know which number pick Giannis Antetokounmpo was that year? Was number 14. So, and the Bucks were kind of just out of the playoffs. They had Drew Henson. I think they had Terry Ford. I can't remember, but I feel like this is one of those drafts where, you know, and I've said this before, it's almost better to be at the end of the lottery than the beginning, because there's so much expectation of who you have to take at the beginning of the lottery, and just because of the groupthink and the rankings, and of course later in the draft you can draft whoever you want. So
I think there's some merit to that because, you know, like I said, you know, referring to back to the past story, you know, I think there's a lot of people who think that the Cavs are perfectly positioned at 14. And I think there are I think you're fine if you're in the top four, you know, with the Paolo, Chet, Jabari and Ivy at the top. I think the depth part of the draft this year is 6 through 10. Or 6 through 11, you know, like there's guys that we were talking about, like Shaedon Sharpe, who hasn't played in over a year, and last played in high school. We got AJ Griffin, who I know, you know, he's a highly touted recruit, but you know, there's possibly, you know, injury questions about him, and also can he actually do anything but shoot a 3-point shot. You know, Ben Mathurin, is getting a lot of hype, but, you know, he seems kind of one-dimensional as a scorer and not a playmaker. If I'm in that 6 to 10 or 6 to 12 section, Jalen Duren's being talked about as well, you know. I'm not excited if I'm, you know, Indiana or, the Pelicans or, you know, whomever is in that 6 to 10 range. It's just, it seems like, And it's funny because I think there's a lot of fire. It seems to be there's a lot of trade rumors surrounding those, as we opened the program with tonight with the seventh pick, you know, seems to be on sale for Portland, you know. So I think that's 6 to 10 range. I don't know how you guys feel about the draft or Eli, how Eli feels about 6 to 10, but. You know, I don't know about 6 to 10 as opposed to later.
Eli, you want to weigh in there?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I think 6 through 10 this year is really weird because the group thing says to take guys like Shaedon Sharpe, who hasn't played since high school. Usman Dieng is a guy that a lot of people have in their top 10, and I'm with you, Nate. I just don't see it. And there's just like no statistical argument. There's no eye test argument. The argument for him is the ideal of him is something that could be tantalizing, but I just don't see how you can do that with a top 10 pick when you got guys like, you know, Jalen Williams, who's more proven with the advanced stats, with the measurables, and he's projected to go, you know, 10 picks later, you know, in the late teens maybe, or late lottery at the very minimum. So I think it's pretty mind-boggling that two of the top 10 guys might be Shaedon Sharpe and Usman Dieng, and that's what makes it really scary for picking between 6 or 10.
Yeah,
That sends shivers down my spine, Eli.
Like, we were talking about where the tier – you were talking about the tiers. I think, you know, 6 through 10 is that second tier. And honestly, I think 10 through, like, 23, 24, there's a lot of really good players. I don't – or 11 through 20, 23, 24, somewhere in there. A lot of really good players. And like you said, there's 50 guys that think there's going to be first-round picks. So fit – is going to be really big. And the other thing that I think is funny is I don't think anybody's trading a pick next year for a pick this year. You might see a team trade a second rounder next year for a first rounder this year. Like, I could see that happening. I ain't seeing any first round picks from 2023 moving unless you're getting an already established player in exchange. So that's just me.
And you're saying that because of the perceived value of the draft class next year, right?
And the perceived low value of this year.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, it's just it just cracks me up. Like, I tweeted today, I was like, the Knicks making moves to move up in a shitty draft. Classic Knicks move. It's like, I don't understand, like, these teams that are I want to move from 7 to 4. Like, this draft doesn't feel like the difference between 7 and 4 really matters, but maybe you think it does. Like, I actually think Keegan Murray's a really good player. He's probably one of my favorite guys in the top 5 or so. You know, that's a guy I might move up for, but there's a lot of guys I'm like, they're okay. They're a decent player, but I don't think Paolo Banchero is that much better than a lot of the guys that are, you know, 5-6 picks behind him. So
my counterargument to that, though, is another reason why this draft is scary is, let's say you take a guy like Keegan Murray, like 6th or 7th, right? Then what if Shaedon Sharpe hits and he goes like 8th to the Pelicans, and everything that is potential checks out and he thrives because David Griffin sees it all, you know? I think that's what makes it even scarier on the other side of the argument for 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's every draft, though. So I don't know if you followed any of the James Jones interviews that he was talking about. He hates young players and unproven draft picks. He's like, he's always about winning now all the time. Like, he would not have drafted Devin Booker. He would not have drafted DeAndre Ayton, probably. Like, that to me is a crazy, that, you know, that's one end of the extreme. And then you've got the other end of the extreme, like you said, where David Griffin, who will take those home run swings, doesn't always hit clearly with the worst number one pick in NBA history. But it's just really interesting the way, you know, you've got the two extremes, and obviously the balanced approach is where I tend to lean. But I don't know. It's really interesting.
It's funny you mentioned the Suns in that article about James Jones, because apparently I just found out about this today. Eli's boy, Jake LaRavia, apparently Google listed his age incorrectly during this draft process. And they listed him at 22 years old when he's actually 20 years old. And what had happened was, there were some teams that knew that the age was wrong, but they didn't tell anybody, obviously, because they wanted to keep that under wraps and take advantage of that inside information, so to speak. But then apparently, I guess, word got out or whatever, or the issue had been rectified with Google eventually after some, you know, whatever somebody was talked to or whatever. And what's interesting is LaRavia apparently, I guess LaRavia's representation was told that a team was out because they thought he was older. So he's the same guy, but actually his development curve gets better because he's 2 years younger. And then a team tells him, actually, never mind, we're not that interested. And the joke was that it must have been the Suns that said that. Because of that James Jones article. Yes.
Oh my gosh. That was a weird article. And then, of course, I pitched the rumor to you guys today that they're looking at trading Cameron Johnson because they don't want to basically pay him next year or after the season. And, of course, Robert Sarver never wants to pay the luxury tax. Like, is the Suns window already closed? Like, it almost feels that.
Oh, hell yeah. If it ever was open. I mean, they were the top line for, you know, most fraudulent team. You know, they were the ranked number one on the fraud ball charts. So, and now, you know, they don't want to pay Ayton. You know, I did the calculation, by the way. If they had to match Ayton, they'd owe $111 million in tax, and it would escalate drastically every year.
Yeah.
Because then they would hit the repeater. There's total, like, you hit the nail on the head. I can't see them wanting to pay Cam Johnson. Hell, they should just tear it down. I mean, they're stuck on the how much do they owe Chris Paul over the next 2 years, 3 years?
It's not as bad as you'd think, but yeah, it's almost like they had a 2 year window, and then I believe they owe him. Well, now I got to look. So talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they owe him a lot, and, you know, they're not wanting – the rumors are flying about Ayton. You know, there's rumors about him going to Detroit. There's rumors about him going to San Antonio. You know, everybody seems to be in on the Ayton, you know, Max Ayton, try to get him. And so, you know, I think they're already looking at a possible teardown, and it barely even got started, you know. Or, I mean, they really just had that two-year window and didn't really pan out. Did you find a date, or did you find?
I did. So he has kind of a wild contract in that he's owed $28 million this year, and then he's got a $30 million contract next year, but only $16 million of it is guaranteed. And then he has a team option or a non-fully guaranteed 2024-2025 contract, which obviously I don't think he'll see because he'll be 39. But it's a $30 million deal. But what that deal allows them to do is if they were to buy him out over like next year, they could stretch pay that over the non-guaranteed years. So like say he plays this year and then they buy him out for $16 million next year, they could stretch that out over five seasons, which is only like $3 million a year.
Okay.
So it doesn't – it seems like that contract is designed to work that way to me.
Interesting.
And, of course, then it becomes very tradable as well if a team wants to, you know
– win now, move.
Trade and wave, you know, or clear cap space.
Okay. You're talking the opposite. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, they just – and, you know, there might be a fire sale. I mean, well, and going back to that James Jones article, another interesting part about that was, I guess, their whole, like, scouting apparatus or personnel or their whole infrastructure, I guess, their basketball operations infrastructure totals only 14 people. And it says in that article that the Clippers employ 14 scouts alone, let alone other basketball operations people and managers. So, you know, to your point before, you know, Sarver, man, Sarver the cheapskate. You know, he must be he must be NBA Mike Brown. That's what it reminds me of. Shout out to the Bengals fans out there.
Okay, not the new coach of the Kings, Mike.
No, not the new coach. Yeah, something about Paul Brown's son, Mike Brown, the notorious cheapskate. You know, from the southern part of Ohio.
Yeah, I mean it's super interesting because there is an ongoing NBA investigation about pay disparity and professional workplace in Sarver's organization. A lot of people have said that the NBA may force him to sell, but that hasn't really gone anywhere yet. So we'll kind of see what happens. But yeah, that's
how long has that investigation been going on? It's been years now, hasn't it?
I don't know. Rich people live by their own laws. So
I know exactly. I know. Isn't that the truth?
Indeed. And with that, we'll be right back again.
That was great.
All right. Sorry, guys. I'm back.
Yeah, it's all good timing.
We have breaking news on Cavs of Podcast. Go ahead, Eli.
Well, we made a pitch to start this pod about going after DeJounte Murray from the Spurs and, you know, voice of the Cavaliers, essentially, voice of the locker room, Chris Fedor, has sent out a tweet about 20 minutes ago tonight saying the Cavs have had conversations about Murray going all the way back to February when they also
About that multiple times.
So it sounds like the Cavs are it sounds like the tone is that the Cavs are going to continue to have conversations and try to be in the sweepstakes for Murray, which I think is a great sign that they're not just being extremely passive. I think, you know, for three first round picks, in addition to maybe, you know, if the Spurs are truly rebuilding, you can give them expiring contracts in LeVert and take back bad salary on their behalf. Keldon Johnson's going to be a restricted free agent next year. Vassell is going to be a restricted free agent the year after. So, you know, I don't know.
Lonnie Walker is a restricted free agent this year.
Yeah. So there's, you know, I think the Cavs are smartly going to try to be involved. And I basically trade everyone except, you know, Allen, Mobley, or Garland to try to be competitive in a deal like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's very interesting. Yeah, I feel like the Cavs probably have a little bit more to offer than Atlanta in terms of, you know, Markkanen and a Sexton and a future picks, and they've got quite a few picks this year. But I feel like Markkanen and Sexton and Osmond's probably a little bit more star power than Atlanta has right now, where they kind of have Collins and maybe Herder, but I feel like those guys have a little bit more upside. And it's funny because even was it you today, Eli, who was saying today that Sexton would do really well in the Spurs system?
Oh, that was our friend of the CTB emeritus, David Wood.
Yeah. So.
It was a great point. Yeah. I mean, but ironically, I guess it wouldn't be such a, I don't know if it'd be such a good fit anymore. I think that was dependent upon Murray being still there, right? Murray and Sexton would be a good backcourt duo.
Oh, in, San Antonio for sure. But
yeah,
I still think it would be good.
Good for us. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Amen, brother.
or for them. So it's interesting. Any other late breaking news there, Eli, as you're perusing the Twitters?
Well, I think one thing we haven't talked about, it's not breaking news, but it was also in the same report by Jake Fisher, who actually is a good friend of ours. He's in our DMs. Me and him trade DMs all the time. Always asking him if he could give me a little extra nugget not in his articles, and he's dropped a couple hints here and there, but obviously can't tell. He also, in the same article, talked about how Portland really wants OG Anunoby, and the 7th overall pick is in play. I like OG Anunoby, but I think 7 is pretty high for him, even though this draft is kind of meh. So I'd imagine the Raptors would probably have to give a first-round pick back, and it'd be like a huge trade down. There'd be some bad salary going out, but... that's another trade.
I think there's no possible way that Masai Ujiri is going to give up a first round pick to get 7. I think in this instance you're overvaluing 7. I think it would really? In fact yeah. yes. In fact, I would say that they might be forced to attach. Like, I think the question is, are they going to attach an additional pick besides 7? To get OG Anunoby. It seems to be where the conversation's going.
It's interesting.
I don't know. I like Anunoby, but I'm not sure that I view him that valuable. And if I was Portland, I'd probably not pursue that personally.
Yeah, the problem is Portland needs Anunoby more than the Raptors need Anunoby, because Portland has never really been good at developing their own talent besides at least – and the current era, now that Terry Stotts is gone, besides Dame and CJ McCollum, you know, it's he's already developed talent, and they need win now guys to convince Dame to stay and not demand a trade request. Of course, the other thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that the other thing is ownership. Yeah. Paul Allen passed away. There's a trust, I guess. Or is the team being held in trust with, or an Allen trust or whatever, with the wife, the widow?
Sister.
Oh, his sister. I'm sorry.
Because he wasn't
so
married.
They're trying to, yeah. So I think they're not in a, they're not, they are kind of handicapped in the sense that they can't really do a full process rebuild because they want to sell the team.
Yeah. Well, and that's a question. You can't really sell a mediocre team. You either have to sell a really good team, or a team that's stripped down to the nuts and bolts. Like, you don't want to sell a team with a bunch of wasted salaries that's making the 8th seed every year. You know, when the Cavs sold from to Dan Gilbert, of course, LeBron was on the team, and it was all about, this is going to be a really exciting team going forward. And I think the goal in Portland is to really build up the winning potential of that team and try and put a team that can win around Portland or around Dame. But the other part of it is the NBA is really in flux right now, because I don't think a lot of people watched that finals and were like, these teams are unbeatable. No, we might as well just pack it in for a few years. Like Golden State.
I think it's the exact opposite. And I think really? Everyone saw that and said, I think everyone saw the finals and was like, holy crap, we can actually win this next year. This is the quality, if that's all you have to
do. No, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, they were saying these teams aren't, there's nothing stopping us from being where these teams are. Is that what you're saying? The same thing?
Yes. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay. No, that's okay. I probably didn't communicate it well. But yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, if you, that Boston team was one of the worst finals teams I've seen in a long time. Like, they were a 5-deep team that they lost because, Golden State was older, not as talented, but they had a better bench, and they were able to spell Curry enough that he could deliver when it mattered. And Draymond Green stepped up for the last two games, whereas Boston, their bench just fell apart. They couldn't bring in anybody when Robert Williams was hurt, and they were running Peyton Pritchard rotation minutes, and he was just getting roasted regularly. So, yeah.
I think
the NBA feels – what?
I like roastated. Yeah, a neologism. Or I don't know if that's the proper word, but I like that.
Yeah. I
rotation
feel like
player that gets roasted.
Open.
Roastated.
Roastated. Yeah, there you go. I feel like it's wide open, and I agree with you, Eli. So great minds think alike, and ours too.
That's right.
The other one that I saw was the Knicks. I don't know if you heard the news, but the rumor is that what's his name from the Mavericks?
Oh, Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson is a done deal to the Magic or the Mavericks, but that the Knicks are clearing the books to try to bring in Jalen Brunson. And I feel like a really natural pivot for that, if Jalen Brunson can't get there, is Colin Sexton. I could definitely see them pivoting to a Colin Sexton.
I mean, there was already those rumors last off season about that that failed trade between the Knicks and Cavs involving Kevin Knox. I think it was a Kevin Knox somebody and a late first rounder, I think, was the deal that fell through. It seems like Colin Sexton's the perfect Knicks point guard, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he does. He feels like, well, and honestly, Tibbs, he kind of seems like a Tibbs player. Like, tries really hard, goes 100 miles an hour, you know, lays it all 100%. Out there, and then loses in the second round of the playoffs. So, I would not
be surprised. Hey, that's better than they've done in probably 30 years, probably.
Right. I would not be surprised to see Colin Sexton get a $24+ million offer.
Wow, that's so crazy. Because you know, what's funny is we began these conversations. You know, we began these conversations about Sexton, thinking that was ludicrous. But now that you say it, now that you lay it out there like that, it seems completely plausible. He's going to clear $20 million. That's insane.
No, I. It's just who's out there. That's the same.
True, right? Guys get overpaid, I guess, in free agency is the axiom, I would suppose.
Yeah, especially when they're young. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's not the case, but it's a weird one for sure. And I don't know. I don't know what we'll see tomorrow, but I feel like we're going to see a lot of fireworks within the next week and a half between the draft and free agency. And I think you're going to see a lot of teams maybe draft him for another team and then keep it under the vest to trade that player in the next when free agency hits.
Yeah, it's funny. I totally agree with that. It's funny that there's like all these, concerns or feigning concern about tampering. But apparently the impression that I've gotten from the early, from what's transpired over the past 48 hours is teams are just like out and out tampering. It doesn't even matter. Like, it's so funny. It's like a farce. It's a farce that this is even getting policed at all.
I don't know. Do you think things would work better? Sorry, I didn't realize I was asking a question while I was on mute. Do you feel like it would be better if free agency was before the draft? I kind of feel like in some respects it would cut down on the tampering. But I don't think teams would love that.
How so? Well, how do you think that would work?
I don't think you're going to see a deal like the deal that Milwaukee and and the Kings had last year for Bogdanovich. Like, can't do that now,
Right.
I kind of wish that it was just like the day after the draft is when it starts, because it's like, why even try to hide it,
Yeah. Of course, I think part of the reason is people actually do have to sleep, but maybe a day and a half, maybe like 2 days after. But it's only a few days after, so.
Yeah, we only got one week to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's weird. And with that, I feel like we should kick off our CTB mock draft. Maybe after we come back from the break. Are you guys ready to do that? I don't know. I feel like we should go through the Cavs' first, second round pick, and that's maybe their second round pick, but not all the players in between, and kind of just rotate through them. What do you think?
Ooh, sounds good. Let's do it. Mocking action. Yes, exactly.
Oh, I'm game.
Okay. Well, we will be right back for some hot mock action. There we go. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I am here with Chris Francis and Elijah Kim, and we have a mock draft slash snack draft where every round one of us is going to pick a player for the team on the clock, and we are also going to pick the appetizer off a restaurant menu that fits in that spot. So that's what we're doing, and you are on the clock for the Orlando Magic, Chris Francis.
Okay, so I'm drafting for the Mickey Mouse team. I am going to take Jabari Smith Jr. with the first pick. Of course, you know, I fell in love with him in the evaluation process, Deadeye shooter. And for my first appetizer, man, that's so tough. I mean, I'm going to have to go with potato skins. You know, I probably order potato skins more than any other appetizer that I ever order. You know, the wings are a close second, but I got to go potato skins. I mean, you know.
So every time I order potato skins, I sing the Keebler potato skin song that goes, potato what? Skins got baked potato appeal because they're made from potatoes and skins that are real. Remember that? Do you remember potato skins?
No, I've never heard this before. I can't believe it's real. What the hell?
It is. Yeah. The Keebler potato skins. They were like a chip where the skin was on one side of the potato chip.
Wow, that is a blast from the past. I vaguely remember that product existing. Wow.
Okay, and so the potato skins are, you know, usually the kind of quarter slice of the potato, the cheddar jack, and the bacon, right?
Oh, absolutely. And sour cream. Don't forget the sour cream.
Oh, sour cream. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And if you're like me, you want a little jalapeno on there, but you got to work at a place where they know you and they'll do that for you.
That's right. So,
shout out
to the tavern that I used to go to in Raleigh. They used to put pork barbecue on top of their
potatoes. Nice.
Yes.
Okay, Eli, you are on the clock for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
For the Thunder, in the second overall pick, I'm going to go with Chet Holmgren. He just seems like the perfect player to part with the true centerpiece of the Thunder rebuild, which is Pokuševski. So just think of a team with Chet Holmgren, Pokuševski, and whoever they pick at 12. That is what I'm going with for the Thunder. And in terms of an appetizer.
And Lou Dort at power forward.
Yes. Lou Dort at power forward, Poku at the 3, and Chet at the 5. That's what I'm going with.
There you go.
For an appetizer, I'm actually going to go with buffalo chicken dip.
Nice.
I think it's the best of a chicken wing, but a little bit healthier to make you feel good about ordering it as an appetizer, not as your main. So, underrated. But never ignored when it's on the menu for me.
Very nice. Right now, Houston Rockets, my favorite clown shoes organization. they would do something smart here, but everybody has them taking Paolo Banchero. I actually think the smart pick here, I'm just going to go ahead and draft Jaden Ivey for him. Because they already have enough power forwards. Jaden Ivey can play point guard. They got it is a much smarter move than drafting yet another power forward, but which is why they will draft Paolo Banchero. But I'm going to just mix it up and take what would be the smart move here and take Jaden Ivey for them.
Ooh, we have our first country.
And the snack is. Like the snack that should have gone first, the appetizer, it's clearly buffalo wings. Pick your flavor. We could have a whole wing draft, but my preferred is a grilled some kind of dipping sauce, which caramelizes really well. So you fry it, toss, and then grill it, and that's what I'm going with at the third pick of the draft is wings. So there you go.
My God, I'm hungry.
Okay, you are on the clock for our other favorite butt of many jokes, the Sacramento Kings, Chris.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, you gave them a gift because Paolo Banchero falling into their laps at pick four seems like a no-brainer. I mean, I can possibly see, there's been a lot of rumors that they love Keegan Bradley, but I mean, Paolo Banchero, I got to go with. I'm not going to do them dirty because they were my pick last year for breakout team, and they kind of disappointed me. But, you know, I don't
Keegan
know why.
Murray?
They're big Keegan Murray fans, but I'm going to take Paolo Banchero and you know, also I will give him a shout out. They are the most ethical California team in existence right now. So even though they're big time losers, you know, at least they don't, at least they're not from LA and at least they're not from San Francisco. So
there you go. Okay. let me mark it down here. Hold on 1 second.
What's your appetizer, though?
Ooh. I mean, I'm going to have to go guacamole. You know, add some international. Well, I should have gone. I probably should have gone. Paolo Banchero, I believe, is Italian. So I probably should have gone with something Italian. But I'm going to go Mexican and say guacamole. Absolutely. Nice. With jalapenos, nice. Of course.
Oh, yeah. My wife makes a killer guac. Fresh tomatoes, jalapeno, and cilantro. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. She's a keeper.
There you go. Okay. And Eli, you are on the clock for the, who's at five?
Pistons.
Pistons. Well, no tanking this pick.
No, it is, it's an easy pick because they just traded away a player that plays this position today. The Pistons select Keegan Murray to play power forward and fill the void for, Jeremy Grant. And, like you, Nate, I'm actually a big Keegan Murray fan. I'm not sure why people dog on him because of his age and they don't think he's athletic enough, because Jeremy Grant is not like some explosive leaper either, and he's an effective player. And I actually think they have some similarities in terms of their athleticism, but I think Murray's a better shooter, lesser defender, but still a good pick to help Detroit you know, continue the rebuild with Cunningham and Murray. So I will pick Murray for the Pistons. And my appetizer for this round is actually continuing on with the Mexican Tex-Mex food theme, some nachos.
Nice.
I like my nachos with sour cream, queso, salsa, pickled jalapenos, and a little diced onion in there. That's my pick. So that is my appetizer choice with the pick for Detroit.
Yeah, I guess say I love nachos as well. My preference is probably barbecue nachos, where you do like a smoked pork or something like that, and then you have some barbecue sauce instead of salsa. But I celebrate all nachos. So, and now with the next pick, the Indiana Pacers are on the clock. And I kind of feel like the Pacers, all the guys they would have wanted to be there at six are gone. And so now we got to kind of figure out who plays well in that situation. And I think what we're going to see there is, man, this is a tough one. I think they kind of roll the dice on Shaedon Sharpe. Just they go for the upside, they go for, you know, kind of best long term, and a guy they think can develop slowly and they can lock him up before he really blows up. So Shaedon Sharpe, I don't love the pick, but it makes sense in some ways.
Don't sell it too hard.
I don't know who to take there, because Daniels is a point guard and they already have you know, Halley, and then Mathurin, they already have Duarte. I don't love Jalen Duren for them, but maybe that's the guy they would take there. I don't know. But so I'm going to take Shaedon Sharpe because I don't know who else to take. And similarly, I'm going to take his equivalent in snacks, which is mozzarella sticks, because when you don't know what other app to order, you always know you can order mozzarella sticks.
That's true.
Even if you have a vegetarian at the table, you can go mozzarella sticks. So you're up for the Blazers, and we're just going to assume they're keeping that pick for the mock draft here.
Okay. Man, so...
Or they're picking for someone else. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
make whatever scenario up you want.
I think, you know, it's funny that the Blazers haven't tried, you know, like surrounding Dame with good defenders, you know, in this in a similar manner that Golden State has surrounded Steph Curry with good defenders. So in that kind of vein there, I think I'm going to go with Dyson Daniels of the G League Ignite. You know, he's a big boy. He can pass, he can dribble, he can defend. The shooting is a little shaky, but I think that the form is good. So, you know, we'll go Dyson Daniels for the Portland Trail Blazers. I was trying to think of an app apropos to Portland, but I can't think of anything. I'm just gonna have to go completely off of vibes. We've had a run of, I'm going to stick to international. We're going to go to the Far East. I'm going to say pot stickers or I forget what the Korean version is, but pork pot stickers or chicken pot stickers, you know, with soy sauce with red chili flakes as a dipping sauce.
All right. Well, I think the Pelicans are next, and I'm going to go with the curveball here. Ooh. I am going to pick for the New Orleans Pelicans, and this is kind of hot off the press today, too. But I'm actually going to take Usman Dieng here at number eight. I think Griffin, like we already kind of discussed, is a huge home run swinger, and I think that while I think the three of us here aren't that high on him, I think that our former GM, David Griffin, would like a swing like this because this is a pick that they candidly probably didn't expect to be so high as it's one of the Lakers picks from the Anthony Davis trade. So with that being said, I'm actually going to pick an appetizer that is kind of reminds me of a pick like this. And I'm going to go with a stuffed jalapeno because sometimes you bite
like a jalapeno popper.
Yeah.
Why didn't sometimes you go with escargot? He's French.
Well, I've never eaten escargot as an appetizer.
Oh, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's like a chewing gum that never... It's like chewing gum that you swallow, basically, that tastes like fish.
But I pick a popper because sometimes it's good, and sometimes it just explodes in your mouth and goes awry. So that's my appetizer for this pick.
Nice. okay, next on the clock, the Spurs. I'm going to go and I'm going to break Eli's heart here. And I'm going to go Jeremy Sochan. Are you guys hearing me?
That's such a Spurs pick.
Yeah, like I feel like he's a guy that probably, yeah, long term has a lot of potential. Can play a lot of defense now as a smart player. They have so many wings already. I kind of feel like it doesn't make sense for them to grab another wing. So I'm going to go Jeremy Sochan. Nice. Does he have a little Boris Diaw in him? Do you think, Eli? I mean, not in terms of girth, but in terms of game.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think Boris Diaw is a very good comp for Sochan, and it is pretty heartbreaking considering that is someone who I, despite the fit, I think he has some pretty good upside, especially as definitely as a defender, but could be as an offensive player. So I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, because like a lot of people think he can be a bit of an offensive hub, right? Or what's the term they use now?
They use a connector, I think, is what the term for
a
him.
Connector, he's not, yeah, yeah.
Because he's not a playmaker, because he's not like dribbling up the ball and initiating offense.
Interesting. So next up, I've got the who do I have next? I have the Wizards, and I think I have. So today I said, you know, I thought I felt like Usman Dieng was destined to be a shitty wizard, and I don't have any counter to that right now, but. I mean, who plays center for the Wizards right now?
Who is Daniel Gafford?
No, Porzingis.
Oh, yeah.
Porzingis and Gafford. Yeah. Bring it. Okay. Porzingis and Gafford. So I don't really feel like I can make that move. So I'm going to go with Bennedict Mathurin for them just because he's kind of the best player on the board right there and kind of just let him cook. You know, he's got a setup, man. They need guys who can score. So that feels like a Barry Wizards pick. And as an appetizer, I'm going to go. Did I jump in front of somebody for the draft there?
You took Chris's spot, but it's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, yeah, Chris, okay. I apologize.
No, you're fine.
So you know what it was? It was I forgot to say my appetizer for the Jeremy Sochan pick. And because it was going to be Riblets for Texas for Baylor, and so that's why I was all screwed up there. So, yeah, you can go for me next time. So I'll let you jump in there now and do my pick for the Knicks.
Okay, for the Knicks, you know, this is going to be the Obi Toppin Memorial pick. Where they take an old geezer, that old geezer being Tari Eason. So this is nice. The, you know,
Obi Toppin. That's a very, okay.
You know?
That is a very Tibbs pick.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just a dog on defense. No offense, no creative offense to speak of, but man, can he slam the ball down through the hoop. So, you know, I think... you know, they might have their, you know, I was told that RJ, if they re-sign RJ Barrett to an extension, that'll be the first round pick they've re-signed since 1994. Did you guys know that? So Tari Eason will be the second.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They have not re-signed a first round pick since 1994.
Wow.
Go James Dolan.
That's insane. Yeah.
And then appetizer will go.
You gotta go something New York here.
Yeah, I know. That's how I feel. Well, I was gonna say, you know, a cosmopolitan. Does that count?
No, that's a drink. You gotta go. You gotta go food here. Okay, it's gotta be something you gotta chew. You put a pickle in it, maybe.
Ooh, you know, I'm gonna. Okay, so, oh man, I'm gonna have to go falafel. We're gonna go to the Mediterranean coast and go falafel.
Nice. Okay, you're
from a bodega. Up, Eli. From a bodega Eli. In Manhattan.
Nice. All very right. Nice.
So I have the second Thunder pick at 12, and I should have planned it better and given them Usman Dieng here as a tall Gumby guy, but I think that the Thunder will. Always go for potential over win now. So I will take AJ Griffin here for the Oklahoma City Thunder. There's a lot of potential. He was a former five-star recruit, son of an NBA player. You know, Lou Dort has been in some trade rumors this year, so maybe he does get moved. But I think Griffin would fit in well, another young player with a timeline and helps, you know, space the floor, considering I think the Thunder are perennially one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. So that is my pick. And as an appetizer, I'm going to go with one of my favorites that have slipped through the cracks, some mac and cheese bites. I've been eating those pretty often. Actually, I found a frozen pack that I've been using in the air fryer. So I'm actually going to go with
nice.
That.
My kids love mac and cheese bites.
Oh yeah. They're good. They're good.
Nice. Nice. Okay. I've got to update the board here. So one second. So we got Oklahoma City took AJ Griffin. And now we have, I believe it's the Hornets, isn't it? No.
Correct. It is the Hornets.
Yeah. So this one's kind of wild. There'd been a lot of Hornets rumors that they're moving out. Hayward. So I kind of feel like they need a shooter, and they need a guy that can kind of, be. And I also feel like they don't need any more super young guys. So I feel like Okai Ogbaji is a guy that just makes a lot of sense for them here, with the caveat that they know the Cavs aren't going to draft a center at 14. So they know there'll be a center there two picks later. They're going to get Ogbaji. And the appetizer I'm going to take is kind of the draft pick equivalent of Ogbaji, and that's sauerkraut balls. So, because I don't think he's going to be very good, but he'll sit there on a plate for 8 years. So, and average 14 points a game for the next 8 years. So, I believe you are up next, Chris, with the Cavs pick. So,
oh boy,
things falling your way. I still see Johnny Davis there.
Oh man. They've really fallen my way, but now I'm totally screwed because now there's too many options.
Well, we kind of knew this was how it was going to come down, though, right? Like,
you're absolutely right. They have options.
There's going to be more guys there than, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's tons of options. I'm going to stay true to my board. I'm going to stay true to my roots as an Ohioan, and it's going to be Malachi Branham.
Oh my God. All that Jalen Williams talk. And yeah, you just bail out. Okay. Give us your biggest homer. Is your appetizer just Buckeyes?
Like, yeah, it should be. Yeah. 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 Grater's makes a great Buckeye ice cream. Yes, I eat ice cream for appetizer. So, nice. Yeah, we're going to go, Buckeyes all the way. St. Vincent, St. Mary, shout out to you guys. The next LeBron James. We got him.
Wow, got him. Okay, and with that, we're going to take a break here. We went a little over, but we had to get to the Cavs pick. Welcome back to Cavs, the Buckeye Homer podcast with Nate Smith and Chris Francis and Eli Kim. Eli, you took Malachi Branham at 13 over the guy we've all been talking about, Jalen Williams. Why is Malachi Branham here at the top of your board over Johnny Davis, over Jalen Williams? Like, what do you got him at 14 for? What's the appeal there? Talk him up for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the upside. I mean, if you look at what he does in the pick and roll, if you look at what he does from three on spot up shooting, two of the weakest areas of the Cavs offense over the past season. And Malachi Branham is an elite player in both of those aspects of the game on offense. He's 19 years old, barely 19 years old. And his assist rate was for his freshman season was 14.9%, which is higher than what Jalen Williams did in his freshman season, which was 13.3. So, and also there's a very big difference in quality of competition between the Big Ten and the West Coast Conference. So, you know, it's mainly the offensive upside, I'd say, with Malachi Branham. I think he has the chance to be an offensive star. Now, I mean, I'm torn. I'm gutted because, you know, one of the things about Jalen Williams that stands out is there's actually a little bit of defensive chops with Jalen Williams, whereas Branham has none to speak of. But again, you know, he's 19 years old. He played college ball in his year 18 season. So I think there's a lot of growth that can be, that can happen. He's going to get his big, he's going to get his grown man strength eventually in the next couple years. And I just think, you know, you got to take, you know, in accordance, you know, with Kobe and, you know, all the stuff that we've heard, you know, they want upside. So I think that Branham represents two things. I think he represents a guy that can come in and immediately contribute as a bench piece or compete for a bench role. And then he can grow in that bench role and eventually possibly become a starter or, you know, possibly grow and, you know, grow his game, take a slow development with his, you know, he was on ball a lot in a very point forward type of role with Ohio State. And so I think just there's the offensive superstar upside with him. I want a guy that's guaranteed, the bottom line with 14 is I want a guy that's going to guarantee me that he's going to make plays for Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Is the guy at 14 going to make sure that our best players touch the ball? And so I think with either with Jalen Williams or Malachi Branham, I feel confident that those are two guys that are going to utilize our bigs in the pick and roll game effectively, but also be able to take the shots that are there and just kind of be an all around offensive player. And I say all this, ironically, what's funny is I'm a big Ohio State hater. I hate Ohio State. I was a Notre Dame fan growing up, an Oregon fan growing, you know, later on in life. I can't stand Ohio State, but, you know, it's a crazy world we live in. You know, it's just, you know, so that should let you know that I say this begrudgingly. All this begrudgingly.
Shakespeare, eat your heart out on that monologue.
You know, there you go. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I take my bow.
And with that, I guess we're done with the meat of our mock draft. But Eli and I are both going to pitch some guys for what's the pick numbers for the Cavs here?
39 and 58.
And I'm going to. Eli, I believe you're on the clock for 39. So you give me your guy for 39, and I'll give you my guy, and then we'll do the same for 58.
Sure. So at 39, obviously we don't know how the board will shake out for the first 30 picks, but if I'm picking a guy that's realistically there, so no more, you know, Dalen Terry dropping to this pick, no more Jake LaRavia dropping to this pick, unfortunately. If I'm going to go with a guy who probably will be a 34, I'm just going to go a little out of the box and take David Roddy. I love this guy. He's built like a Mack truck, and he's basically a defensive end that plays basketball. He's 6'5", 260, played in the Pac West, and kind of did everything. He's pretty unique because he – you know, makes plays, he can shoot it decent, and, you know, play tough D when required. But I think the concerns of his body and being so big definitely is a concern long term, but I just think he plays really hard, and he has some of the tools that the Cavs are looking for on the playmaking and shooting side.
Yeah, you actually took the guy I was going to take, so now I got
no way. Are you serious?
Yeah, well, I read the Spin Davies article on him earlier, and I liked him from earlier in the year. I kind of forgot about him, but he's kind of like I mean, there's a lot of Draymond comps in kind of the ability to guard a wide range of players and see the floor and shoot, and he's definitely got the comps there. Not quite as tall or as long as Draymond, but certainly a guy that has an intriguing NBA skill set. I actually think he would be a really good player to play with some of the Cavs kind of willowy big men, because he can box out guys on the boards and kind of help bang bodies on the inside. So, and can play probably the three or the five with some of those guys, or the four. So that makes sense to me. The guy I'm going to take here, if he's still there, and, you know, that's a big if at this point, but at 39, we're all kind of reaching. I'm going to take Wendell Moore Jr. from Duke. I think he's, you know, a really good all-around player, guard, 7 foot wingspan. He's a good defender, pretty good shooter. So yeah, that's a guy I'm going to take. Nice. And, I guess if we are taking another appetizer here, I gotta go with the 38th ranked appetizer, and I'm gonna go spinach artichoke dip.
Oh wow, that's kind of a low ranking. Come on, is it because what's going on here? I thought I would expect like it to be a first round dip. Appetizer. Come on,
it's a high second rounder.
okay. That's actually a more. I feel like that's a more controversial pick than mine, to be honest with you.
Who's your pick it? At 39.
What you got, Eli?
I thought you were going to pick one, Chris.
Yeah, Chris will pick one too.
Oh, okay. Man, that's tough. I mean, a top second round appetizer. I mean, I would have said mozzarella sticks. I'm honestly not a fan of mozzarella sticks. That's what I was, but that's already been taken. So, I mean, but that's
the high second round, sometimes that still pans out.
That's true. No, I mean, it's a high floor, low ceiling type of appetizer. And that's what I think you get.
There you go. Nice. Nice. Okay. Eli, did you want to throw an app in there? Are you good to move on to 58? Is it?
I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
Uh-oh. He's run out of apps.
Hit us up with 58 there. Eli is full.
All right. With the 58th pick for me, this is a homer pick. I think there's a chance he might still be here at this point, but I'm going to go with ACC Player of the Year, beating out guys like AJ Griffin, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Moore. I'm going to go with Alondis Williams from Wake Forest. He's like the ultimate college combo guard, not a good enough shooter to be an NBA shooting guard, not a good enough point guard to be, a lead guard in the NBA, but, a true combo guard where he's the master of none, but thankfully he's over 6'5". So he does have size, and I think his athleticism is going to be a little bit below average, but he's crafty. He found a way to score on all the ACC teams. And I think that he could potentially be like a role-playing backup point guard if he needed to be. And I think the reason he's not getting overlooked is because he doesn't have, that elite trait that a lot of teams are looking for as a role player this late in the draft. And if I had to, I guess, throw just a second name out there that I would consider, but probably not a lot of people are, it's my fellow countryman, Hyunjung Lee from Davidson, who ironically is kind of the opposite. He can only do one thing really well, and he kind of struggles at everything else, but that is shooting the basketball. So a little bonus giving you two players, but that's who I'd have on the radar at that 58th pick.
Sorry, I was on mute there. So yeah, at the 58th pick, I would take, there's so many opportunities for homers here. We've got, Kenneth Lofton Jr. We've got, who's the other son of an NBA guy that there's Scottie Pippen Jr. here. Not really a homer guy.
Harper Jr.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Ron Harper Jr. I'm actually gonna go with, mainly because I got to tell this story about my Serbian movers from this last weekend. I'm going to go with Carlo Maltovic, Matkovic, who's a power forward for Mega Mozart. And because I kind of feel like with two picks already on board, this is either probably going to be a draft and stash or a guy that's definitely going to get a G League or two-way contract. So I'm going to get Carlo Matkovic, and then not because I think it's worth the 58th pick. I think it's worth much higher than this, but I'm going to go with pierogies just for the Eastern European connection here to my story. So, what about you? Who you got at 58? I know who you got. Who's your guy? You've been pimping him all draft season.
Oh, I mean, you know, for me, it's Keon Ellis. You know,
there you go.
You know, come on now. He's Clay.
I would have picked him, but I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Oh, thank you. No, well, there's a. I'll throw out, you know, everybody knows I love Keon Ellis. You know, he's basically mini Clay Thompson. So for Alabama, I have no idea why he's a consensus 59th pick or 59th rank prospect. But, you know, he reminds me of Herb Jones, you know, just a senior that's getting underrated and just can play the game, you know. And if you look at his shooting, he shoots like Kyle Korver. He could shoot off movement. You know, he runs around screens and gets himself open. No, he can't dribble, but, you know, who cares if you can shoot like that? So give me Keon Ellis. But one name I'll give you as an offbeat name that's getting a little bit of hype now is, you know, from my part of the country, which is Virginia, and that's Vince Williams Jr. from VCU. He's a 6'5", or 6'5", 6'6", wing, 200 pounds, senior, upperclassman, just turned 22. He's getting a lot of hype. It's crazy. He's right now listed as the 72nd pick on the consensus draft board, and it's insane. I mean, he should probably be somewhere near a mid to upper second rounder. I have no idea what the problem is. I have no idea what the beef is, but the kid just can play. And, you know, if there's a wing that you just want to take a wild swing on, you know, Vince Williams Jr., you could do a lot worse. So, final appetizer. I mean, I'm going to have to go, you know, sushi. You know, I love a good tuna roll. So, you know,
there you go.
You know. Yeah, you know, I love spicy tuna rolls. Let's go sushi.
Spicy tuna, there you go.
Oh, yeah. We always love the spice.
Nice. Nice. And with that, we'll be right back to say goodbye. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm actually broadcasting from my new home in Western Michigan. Actually moved over the weekend through Monday. Kind of a crazy story, still not moved in, but my family has decided to relocate, and kind of at some point here, I'm going to kind of write about that whole story. But right now, I got to tell the story of my crazy Eastern European movers that were super nice. So the guy that bought the truck, he said he bought the truck 3 weeks ago, based out of St. Louis. He was Serbian, and the guy that he moved with was Croatian, which is crazy to begin with. The Croatian gentleman had much better English, but they spoke in their regional tongues much more than they did in English when they were around me. So I don't put any stock in that. But so the Croatian dude played D1 lacrosse, and he was like a big stocky dude. He was kind of built like AJ Roddy. And then this guy, the Serbian dude, was like 6'7". His name was Jovan, J-O-V-A-N, and he claimed he played pro ball in Europe for 6 or 7 years. And so I've been trying to look him up and find him because he claims he was a Djokovic teammate for a while. So I think he may have played on Mega Basket or Mega Mozart in like 13, 14. So I'm trying to find him, but yeah, super nice guy. We started talking ball. He like took pity on my wife because she had thought they were putting our stuff in storage and storing the truck and leaving it on the truck for a month. And he's like, no, I own this truck. I have to work. And like literally they're based out of St. Louis and he hadn't been home in like 3 weeks. They just move. They're like move from town to town to town just based on the contract that's available. It's crazy. So crazy guy, was fighting a toothache. He's like, I got to go home so I can see dentist. And so if you're out there, Jovan, thanks for moving me and thanks for working with my wife to get everything squared away. I know you made the best of a bad situation, so thank you. And nice. Hopefully someday we can play some pickup and you can school me. So, and yeah, that's my mover story. So he was a super nice guy that went from playing Burwell in Europe to owning his own moving truck. So it's the American dream. And I think he's making bank moving people right now because he's like, he's so busy, he can't go home and get his tooth fixed. So anyway, you guys got anything to pitch? Any good stories, or are we all just going to wait with bated breath for the draft tomorrow?
Ooh, yeah, I mean, you can feel it, man. It's happening. I'm so excited. Oh, my God. This is what we've been waiting for. So, Kobe,
this
don't
is the
blow
longest
it.
I've waited for a draft in a while. Like, it just feels like it has been forever. And maybe it's just because we had kind of heightened expectations that the Cavs would make the postseason. And we thought their season would go on longer, but it's just been like it's the longest
I can remember.
And last
year we knew we were getting Mobley, right? You know, like, I mean, right. There's no, you know, we're not going to even think about the other possibilities that were possible. But, you know, all of us knew, or all of us loved Mobley. We thought that he was the guy, you know, it was very easy and comfortable. We knew Kobe wasn't going to blow it, you know. But, you know, this is high drama this year. You know, it's like you've been saying it, and I think it's true. You know, somebody's going to fall. The pressure is going to be on Kobe to, you know, is he going to stick true to his board? Is he going to just, you know, make a gut pick? You know, everything is on the is he going to trade? You know, everything is on the table tomorrow night. So it's going to be – I feel like it's going to be exciting, you know. And I can't wait to see what happens.
Awesome. Awesome. What about you, Eli? Anything to pitch or just you're gunning for tomorrow?
I'm just excited for tomorrow, man. I'm actually excited for like the next 8 days or so because we got the draft. We got free agency. We got Stranger Things last two episodes. Four hours of nice. Stranger Things. So – just a lot of good things going to happen
and
in
then,
the next 8 days or so.
Then rolling into July, we got some summer league, which should be fun
ooh,
this year.
That's right. It's my favorite time of year, watching summer league ball. You know, kids trying to kids trying to make a dream.
Yeah, no. So there's something super fun about summer league. Just the unstructuredness of it. The whole off the cuff feel for the whole thing. They don't take it too seriously. You know, there's no foul limit. So, yeah. Summer League's
well, there is, but it's 12.
Yeah. They had to put in a rule. Yeah. I can't remember who they put that rule in for, but.
Yeah. It's got to be some big. It was probably like Andrew Bynum or somebody. I don't know.
Yeah. So, hopefully we have lots to talk about tomorrow night. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.